This past week, I've been actually contemplating on what I have been thankful for, which is why I'm going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be dealing with verse number 18. And I so much appreciate this time of the year because I'm kind of nostalgic. I like to go back and begin to reflect on what God has done for me in my life, not just throughout the year, but in previous years. And as God begins to bring those memories to my mind, I begin to recount my thankfulness to Him for the things He has done, and at times for the things I don't see Him doing, because God is constantly at work, and I'm thankful for that. So before we get going tonight, before we read this verse, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us. We are grateful that we can gather in Your house once again tonight to be able to open up Your Word and to see what You have for us. God, my whole goal tonight is for You to be glorified, and we ask it in Your name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18. Read it with me, if you will. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I've been to contemplate on those very words. Everything we are to give thanks. So often, you and I, we spend our time complaining more than we spend time in being thankful. And that is such the truth on our lives. And we really, when we come to think about that, we need to reverse that type of thinking. We need to have a different change of attitude in that area, if we could, because it'd be very beneficial for us to begin to be thankful for things rather than to be complaintive of things. And Pastor said it very well this morning. He had no idea what I was going to be speaking on tonight, and that was my thought exactly this morning, and it's so true. And I've looked back at my life, and I probably spent more time in my life being a person who complains, being a person who nitpicks and goes after this thing and the other thing. And all that does for me is it gives you ulcers, it gives you high blood pressure, it gives you white hair, and my hair looks whiter tonight because of the suit. It really isn't that white. But it does those things to you, and it's not very helpful. It's not very, what's the word I'm trying to use here? Helpful. Beneficial, that's not the word, but anyway, it's easy words slip my mind, you'll figure it out later. But it's not good for us to do those things, when in actuality, we need to spend time in being thankful. And I got a list of things tonight I want us to be thankful for. But once a year, we set aside just one day in our country that we live in, a land of the free and a home of the brave. We set aside just one day to be thankful, when in reality, we should be thankful for every day that God has given us upon this earth. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know if we will be here or not. We're only guaranteed today if we make it through the night. So when you really think about it, we should be giving thanks on a daily basis. Even in our world today, we have so much to be thankful for. Sure, some might be upset with what's going on politically, and that's on everybody's thoughts. It's on everybody's mind. You can go to the grocery store. You can go to the gas station. You can bump into somebody, and they'll begin to talk to you about the politics of today. They'll begin to tell you if they're happy with it. They'll begin to tell you if they're angry with it. And that goes on. But I'm grateful that God is still on a throne, regardless who is in the office. God is still on a throne. And that's what you and I as believers should be more concerned about. Because man's not going to be able to set us free. God does. And I'm thankful that God is on a throne tonight. I'm thankful that God is working on your behalf and on my behalf as well. I'm thankful for those things. And we need to be thankful for those things. So he's still on the throne. And the exciting thing about that is he hasn't left, nor will he leave his throne. And I am thankful that my hope is in God. My hope is not in man, what man can do for me and the promises that man can give me. My hope is in God because of his promises. You know, he's never broken a promise to us. And I'm grateful for those things. Man's ways, I've learned, have become corrupt. But God's ways are the ways of righteousness. And that's what we need to be concerned about tonight. I've come up with a short list of what I believe we as believers should be thankful for. Some are very easy for us to look at, and some might be some that we have overlooked in our lives, but we'll go through this. No matter what you and I go through in life, the Word says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So regardless of the obstacles that you might face, regardless of the financial woes that might come in your life, whatever you can think of that you might go through, be thankful for those circumstances. Because it is those things in your life that will build character, that will make you stronger in life. And I appreciate those hard times that we have gone through. So be thankful for those things. So have a great attitude when you're going through those things. Attitudes, it'll change your whole outlook on things. It sure would. But instead, we have become a people who are more likely to list our complaints rather than to be grateful. And we need to change that role in our lives. Do you know we can be grateful when we go through the death of a loved one? This is the first thing that I want us to understand tonight. We need to be thankful when we lose the loss of somebody that's very special to us and is very dear to us. But death can sometimes cause us to become bitter, and death at sometimes will cause us to blame God and cast blame upon others. But the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Every single one of us, if God continues to tarry, we will face death because of the sins in our lives. But when we face those obstacles in our lives, we need to be thankful for those things. Now, don't get bitter at God. Don't blame others. Don't blame Him. Accept it and seek God for those times. You and I are not the first ones who have gone through this type of pain in our lives. Many people have gone before us. Many families, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, grandma and grandpas, they have faced the loss of a loved one. Co-workers, you can go on from this list. People face it on a daily basis. So we're not the first ones. Yes, I agree, and I understand that there is much sorrow during these times. But it can also be a time of great thankfulness. And we need to look for those things. Take King David, for example. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 13, you read of a story about him and his son Absalom. And you can see something that takes place here. But no parent should ever go through life and experience the loss of a child. But unfortunately, it happens. And it happens to thousands of people across this great country of ours and in other countries as well. Some lose kids to death. But think about this. Some lose their kids to the world. But David used the loss of his son for one thing, and that was to be thankful. Just to sum up the story, instead of taking our time to go there this evening, David mourned the loss of his son, and rightfully so. Whenever you go through that deep loss in your life, you have the right to mourn. You have the right to grieve. By the way, you can mourn and grieve as long as you want. That's not up to any individual to tell you, hey, this is a set date and time that you got to get over so-and-so. You're not going through that time in your life. They are. Let them take their time. And some might take a long time. Some could take a week. Some could take years. That's up to them. And that's just who we are. Man, I still think of my dog that has been gone since 2014. I was just sitting there thinking of my dog the other day. Man, it's been a long time since I've had my dog, and begin to think about the time that I had to put her down. But I can't even compare that to the loss of a person. I understand those things, but we can grieve. But David here, during his time, he used this wisely. He said, and I'm going to not go to scripture here, he says, but he said he can't bring his son back to him, but he can go to his son. Do you realize he's thanking God for this opportunity right now? What he is saying is, I understand that I've lost my son. I understand the grief that I'm going through, and he's in the presence of the Lord, and I can't bring him back, but I can go to him. And thank you, God, for giving me the privilege and the ability and the understanding, knowing that I can go to him. And that is an attitude of thankfulness. This here shows us how thankful he was to God for this. This world is not a believer's eternal stop. We grieve when we lose somebody. But as a believer, this world is not our home. We are pilgrims, we are strangers, we're passing through. Our home is with God. Our home is in heaven, and we need to be thankful for those things. So as a believer, this is just a stop for right now. But heaven, David knew his time was limited on earth, and once that time was over, he would be reunited with his son in heaven. And I can just imagine a joyous occasion that they had when David finally went to be in the presence of the Lord and is able to see his son once again. The rejoicing that probably took place at that point in time, I can't begin to imagine. I've never been through that. I can just see the scene that's set up there. So David was thankful for that opportunity because his child was in the presence of the Lord. Thankful that God took him home. And David knew that he was going to be reunited with him one day. See, we can be thankful during the time of loss. We can be thankful during the time of sorrow. Those are some times for us to really ponder and think about. I can recount when I lost my brother, when we lost our brother, excuse me on that. The time that we spent over here just gathering as a family, just lifting up our voices and praises to him. That was a time of us being thankful that we can go to our Heavenly Father and seek and get the comfort that we so desperately needed. See, you can be thankful during those times. You can have those times of gratefulness to God during those times of despair. This leads me into, I believe, what else that we need to be thankful for, and that is prayer. I am so thankful tonight that God has given us an avenue for us to go to him directly, and that is through prayer. Prayer has been a big part of my life. It hasn't always been a great part of my life. I will be honest with you. The only time that I would pray as a child was when I got up to go to school and had to do my schoolwork that day. I had 8 grueling hours ahead of me. And I wasn't the smartest kid in school. Matter of fact, I'm surprised I graduated. But here I am. And I would only get up there and I begin to pray, God, get me through this day. Help me to get done with my goals. And help me to understand what I just need to understand just to get through. That would be my typical prayer as I was growing up. And if you're honest with yourself, ones that are in school, that's probably your prayer as well. But it wasn't until later on in life where my prayer life began to change. And I was excited about the fact that it's been a few years ago that I was able to go to Pine Bluff, Wyoming with Phil Prettyman. And I was able to spend 3 days of prayer with him. Not just him, but a few other guys that went as well. And I tell you what, when you have an opportunity presented before you to fast and to pray for 3 days, man, don't think about it, just do it. Because it will change your life tremendously. So I'm thankful that God has given us an avenue to go to him in prayer. David sought God during this time. Why did he seek God during his time? Because no one could give him the comfort the way God can give a person. I was at a funeral a couple weeks ago, and it's always hard to do a funeral of a lost person. Sometimes you're just at a loss of words. You don't really know what to say. And there's times that I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth from one point to the next point. But I do know this. I cannot offer comfort to people. Only God can give that. I can say, yes, I will pray for you. I will help you out during this time. But sometimes those have just become words because that's who we are. We want to be of help. But we're just words at times. But only God can bring comfort. And David sought God through this difficult time in his life. Why did he seek God? Because he knew that he can talk to him and God would begin to give him peace. God would begin to give him comfort. See, sometimes we think of God as if he's we cannot touch him. We don't have access to him. But do you realize he's our Father? Do you know it's okay to cry upon his shoulders? Think about that. God wants you just to open up your arms and just fall in love with him, and just weep on his shoulders. I believe David took the time to do these things. So David sought God. It's a thrill knowing that I can go to God at any given time in my life. You know, I didn't have to come to the altar to get saved. I didn't have to say a prayer up here. You guys heard my testimony. I was ashamed to do it at the altar because I didn't want to embarrass my father because he's a preacher of this church, and I wasn't saved at an earlier age. But I was able to go to God because God didn't stop convicting my heart. God didn't stop convicting my life. And before I even got past that fire extinguisher, because that's about where the tree was at outside, that God got a hold of me so hard in my life that I was able to go to him anywhere. And I gave my life to God underneath the tree. How fitting that is when his son gave his life up for me on a tree. What a beautiful story that is in my life. And I was able to open up my mouth and begin to pray to God. God, save my soul from hell that I deserve, but I need to be in your presence. It's a thrill knowing I can go to him at any given time. Not only seeking comfort, but I can go to him as a time for rejoicing. It's a great time for us not just to say, God, I need this in my life. I need you to comfort me. I need you to bestow your peace upon me. But it's also time for us as we go in prayer to say, God, it's so good of what you've done for me. I'm elated that you've worked in my life. I've asked for prayer in my life and you've answered it. God, thank you for this ability that I can rejoice with you. Not only am I thankful to have my own time of private prayer, I believe you and I need to go in our prayer closets. I believe that's essential in our lives. Wherever that prayer closet is in your house, I hope that you take the time to do those things. But I enjoy being able to pray publicly. Praying publicly with other believers. Those who ignore times like these, and I'm talking time in our church where we meet at 5:15, will never understand the value of a prayer partner. You'll never understand those things. Do you realize the great revivals that took place was not just a result of a preacher showing up and preaching the gospel, but there are many men that were behind the scenes praying fervently for the power of God to go through the preacher so that souls can be saved. Just imagine if those men didn't have the conviction to step behind that pulpit where nobody knew where they're at and begin to pray for the very souls that God gathered there that night. The men that took partnership with one another was tremendous. The great revivals took place because of this. Men behind the scenes, knocking on heaven's door, begging God to do a work in the life of other people. All week long, I've been rehearsing a prayer that I heard last week in my own little prayer group. Matt had no idea the impact that he had on my life this week. And it was just a simple prayer, but the words he used scripture that just spoke to me immensely. And almost every single day, I've been rehearsing it in my mind. The power of a prayer partner is just so unreal. I appreciate public prayer. I appreciate corporate prayer. Thankful for prayer is my direct access, that I have direct access to God. I don't have to go through man. I don't have to go through the priest tonight, but I can go directly to God and get a hold of him and knock on heaven's door. Speaking of praying corporately, this leads into my next attitude of thankfulness. And I'm truly grateful for the church. It's hard for many of you to understand this. But church is, it's my life. This is what I was born into. Every single one of us, you got to understand this, we're all born into religion. You're either born into a family that has Catholicism, you're either born into a family that's Pentecostal, you're either born into a family that's Mormons, Methodists, or Baptists. You can put whatever name you're behind there, but we're all born into religion. But I was born into this life. And this is my life. And I appreciate this so much. If the government decides to close the church doors, I will tell you this, because I'm so grateful for a church, I will put up a fight. And I hope that you will put up a fight as well. You might say, that isn't very Christian-like. Let me just tell you this. No, it isn't Christian-like if you're not going to put up a fight. I believe it's time for you and me, as our doors are threatened to be closed, as the government's changing around us daily, stand up for Christ and put up a fight. By the way, All you have to do is stand. God will take care of us. God will direct us. Every time these doors are open, and understand where I'm coming from in this. I'm not trying to browbeat you. I'm not trying to demean anybody. Don't take this personal. But every time these doors are open, you as a child of God should be here, unless for these three or four reasons. Unless you're sick, unless you're dying, or unless you're dead. I think dead's a pretty good excuse. Well, where's brother so-and-so at? Oh, he died. Oh, okay, we'll excuse him. Take him off the membership list. Did he give the last tithe check? That's a joke. But every time these doors are open, we should be here. We really should. I talked on this last week, the importance of remembering the Sabbath day. Here's what I'm thankful for being in church. I love being around God's people. You have become my extended family. Yes, I have family that's here through blood, but I also have family that's here through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I love being around God's people. I love hearing the laughter. It's exciting to come in and just to hear people laugh. Whether they're laughing at me or somebody else, I don't know. If you're laughing at me, if that's what it takes, then I'm all for it. But I love hearing the laughter. You don't see this, but Chris, she gets up here on occasions, and she gets up here a little bit earlier. If you know Zane, he's been a hard character to get to know and to break. He's this tough little kid. Doesn't want to show emotion. But one thing I appreciate about him is him being able to open up lately and just burst out in laughter trying to scare Chris. It's become a fun thing to watch. I love the laughter. I love feeling the love that we have for each other. As the song was sang this morning and the church was dismissed, I heard so many people talk about the song that was sang and the special music that Julie played. And why did that take place? Because of the love that we have for one another. I'm thankful for those things. By the way, why do we pray for each other when it comes time for our prayer meetings? Because we love each other. That's why. Why do we do those things? Because we care. I love that feeling. But yet, we have allowed fear, and we have allowed other excuses to take us away from church. And I will say this, I'm thankful for the ones who have remained faithful. I really am. I'm thankful for the ones that show up all the time. That really means a lot. Some church leaders during this time, in the amen crowd on Sunday mornings, will shout and want to be recognized, but are absent throughout the rest of the week for the church services. It only doesn't just happen here, it happens in other churches. We need to be consistent. We need to let people know that we love Jesus Christ. We need to be in church. There's a reason why it's called Open Door. The doors are open. Let's take advantage of it. If these doors are locked, rest assured, we will find a way to worship God. We will find a way to worship God. This building is just a building. The church is the people. And when we love God the way that we say we do, we will find a way to worship Him. There are many people that worship Him underground. Their very lives are threatened at this very time in communist countries. But they're willing to risk their own lives to be a part of the church. You know, that could happen to us someday. Finally, I want to say what I'm thankful for. And I don't put him at the end of this. But I want to really stress this. I'm thankful for God. You know, I don't think when we get to heaven, I'm going to call him God. We're going to call him Father. Jesus says, in my Father's house. And I believe Jesus addresses him that way because he is his Father, but we're going to address him that way too. I'm thankful for my Heavenly Father. I'm going to give you some reasons why I'm thankful for him. The first reason why I'm thankful for God tonight is he sought me. I wasn't seeking him. I wasn't seeking a relationship with him. I wasn't seeking to get saved. But God wanted a relationship with me. God loved me. God wanted me to get saved, and he sought me. And I'm thankful he didn't give up. So secondly, I'm thankful that he saved me. I'm thankful that he's given me a mansion in his house. I was thinking about this afternoon. I was thinking about my brother Wayne, and I was thinking about Terry this afternoon. You know, they're already in our Father's house. And I can almost just bet you that they've already went out and checked out our rooms. And they're probably laughing, saying, our room's better than theirs. And I thought to myself, you know why they're saying that? Because they're already there enjoying it. Those are some neat things to think about, those things. I have a mansion in his house. It's not away from him. It's in his house. I'm thankful that I am his and that he is mine. I truly do not know how to show God how thankful I am. I'm thankful that he loves me unconditionally. He has forgiven me. He has never brought my sins back up to me. He has healed me when my body has been sick. He has blessed me financially when I needed to be blessed financially. He has given me a wonderful wife and an awesome daughter. Before I go on, I want our group to come up here and get ready, if you would, please. I'm thankful for my wife tonight, and I'm thankful for my daughter. I'm going to continue going on with this list. I am blessed to have saved in-laws tonight. I'm thankful for my mother-in-law, what a godly influence she was and is to my wife. Thankful for my father-in-law, who is now in the presence of the Lord. And I'm truly blessed to have been born into a saved home. And I'm truly blessed to still have parents who are still together. I can't even understand or begin to even comprehend what it would be like to go to different parents' house on the holidays. I'm thankful for those things. I'm thankful for brothers and sisters who love me. And think of this. I have two of them, and a mom and dad who sit underneath my preaching every Sunday night, and they listen to me. It's very humbling when you think about those things. They knew me as a young kid and how rotten I am. They've changed my diapers. Why have I said all this? Because if it wasn't for God, none of this would be possible. God is truly amazing, and we should be thanking him daily for his love, for his care, and for his provision for us. Just like the song that was sung this morning, Lord, I'm thankful. Jeff, when you guys are done, would you close us in prayer?
Lately, I've been through some testing and trials. Felt like a detour that went on for miles. But standing here now,
like Paul and Silas after the jail, I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful like Noah back on dry ground, thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful, Lord, I'm thankful.
Failure and fear.
sins of my past were a thundering roar that echoed the guilt that I could not ignore. But it's nailed to a cross and I hear it no more, and I'm thankful.
Lord, I'm thankful like David after Goliath, like Paul and Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after Silas after the jail. I'm thankful like Daniel after the lions. Lord, I'm thankful. Thankful like Noah back on dry ground. Thankful like Lazarus finally unwound. Every beat of my heart wants to pound. I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful.
God, we do thank you for the fine day that, Lord, we've had in serving you. Father, we are certainly thankful tonight, God, that you are our Father. And Lord, that you are interested in our lives. Lord, you want to be a part of our lives. Father, I pray that you just bless us as we go throughout our week. Lord, thank you so much for taking care of us and watching over us. And Lord, thank you so much for meeting our needs. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that maybe there's a need here tonight. Lord, maybe there's a spiritual need tonight, Lord, that just needs to be met. God, I pray that you just work in that heart. Father, bless us as we go our way this week. Lord, may we direct our attention to you each and every day. In your name, amen.